Hi there, I'm Lisa Marley from the Off the Leash Podcasts team. On your feed to introduce a series of shortcasts focused around the Emily Williamson Festival. If you don't know who Emily was, she was a co-founder of the RSPB and was an eco-activist before the term was even invented. Taking inspiration from her legacy, modern-day changemakers explore the links between conservation, campaigning, science, and art in a weekend of events at Manchester Art Gallery between the 12th and 14th of November 2021. This shortcast has nature therapy guide and eco-coach Holly Barber, who you may know as Eco Monkey, tell us how she found her drive to start the Global Wildlife Rescue Project, how concepts of our relationship with nature vary around the world, and how getting outside can help us deal with modern living due to our biology. Much like Emily Williamson in her day, Holly's work tries to reconnect people with the natural world so that they don't take it for granted.
Hi, my name's Holly. I'm also known as the Eco Monkey, and I'm the founder and chair of the Global Wildlife Rescue Project. I'm really honoured to have been asked to share my story with you as part of the Emily Williamson Festival. Where I take inspiration from Emily was her ability to make people think differently about something that they possibly took for granted. In her case, it was birds. For me, it's the natural world, nature. I've always loved the natural world. It wasn't something I suddenly got into. I didn't have an epiphany moment or anything. But instead, it was deep rooted in my blood. It was in my DNA. And I very much have my father to thank for that. It actually, though, wasn't until later on, and it was in my early 30s, when I came to realise that this could be more than just a hobby. It was more than something for just the weekends and for my holidays. I spent a couple of years working with a naturalist, author and broadcaster, Simon King. The ethos behind the work that we were doing together was to help people get to know the wildlife on their own patch, with the theory being that when you get to know something, you go to love it. And when you love something, you want to protect it, to nurture it, to save it. It's a very simple premise, but one that made so much sense, and it really resonated with me, and it still does. And it's something that I've taken forward with me with the work that I'm now doing. So, the Global Wildlife Rescue Project. The seed of the idea for it was planted back in 2019. I was frustrated with the job that I had at the time, and I knew I needed to make some really big life decisions and life choices. So I took myself off to Costa Rica for a month to go and do some soul searching. And I went to my happy place, which is Playa Rivita in Punta Arenas province. And I walked for miles along that beach, questioning, what did I want from life? What was I going to do next? Now, I don't know whether it was the pounding waves of the Pacific Ocean to one side of me or whether it was the vibrant jungle to the other, but I heard a voice, and that voice told me that I wanted to be outdoors and in nature. I didn't want to be in an office working 9 to 5. And in the days and the weeks that followed, that seed started to grow and it became what is now the Global Wildlife Rescue Project. It's a charity with two main aims. The first is supporting wildlife rescues in developing countries. The second is showing how we can all live in harmony with the natural world. And it's the little steps that every single one of us can take that make a huge difference when they all add together. When you look at wildlife rescues, no matter where you are in the world, the majority of the time the wildlife has come in because it's come into conflict with humans. Now, the majority of those cases, sadly not all, is unintentional conflict. And there are, say, little things that everybody can do. Whether that is tying a knot in a bread bag will actually potentially save wildlife. When you're throwing out soft drinks bottles, keep the lid on them. It stops animals getting trapped inside. And there was a study done a couple of years ago in conjunction with Keep Britain Tidy that showed that potentially millions of small mammals are lost every year on roadside verges from being caught in soft drink bottles. Now, that not only impacts the small mammal population, but also impacts further up the food chain, the number of kestrels, barn owls, for example, who rely on those small mammals as their source of food. As lockdown struck, and as we went into the global pandemic in early 2020, I was looking at different ways in which I could help people and provide more support for helping people connect with the natural world. And repeatedly, the same practice came up, and that was a forest bathing, or Shinrin Yoku, as it is known in Japan. It's a practice that in its current state is only about 40 years old, and it came about off the back of a health crisis in Japan in the early 1980s. And the more I read about it, the more I found out about it, the more it made sense, the more it resonated with me. And I set about training to become a forest therapy guide through the Association of Nature and Forest Therapy Guides and Programs. It's a mindfulness well-being practice that helps open up our hearts, our senses, our minds to the nature that is both in and around us. It's interesting when you look back at indigenous cultures and indigenous languages, many didn't have a word for nature. They didn't see a need for it because we are nature as much as it is around us. And we've lost that connection, certainly since the Industrial Revolution, the Industrial Age. Gradually, as time has been going on, and more rapidly in recent years, seemingly had that disconnect with the natural world. And it's interesting when we look back and think back to March 2020, when here in the UK we were permitted one outdoor excursion a day for exercise. And during that time, so many more people than ever before suddenly took note of the natural world. They found solace, they found comfort in being amongst nature, of hearing birdsong. And it wasn't that the birds hadn't been singing before lockdown, but suddenly they could be heard. And there's a lot of science and theory that goes into why this is the case. Our bodies haven't really evolved much since our hunter-gatherer ancestors, and especially not our central nervous system. Within that, within our autonomic nervous system, we have our sympathetic nervous system and our parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system, also known as fight or flight, is a safety feature. Effectively, it's about how do we get away from danger and protect ourselves. Think back of our hunter-gatherer ancestors. They'd perhaps come across a saber-toothed tiger, a bear, a wolf. And how do you get out of that situation and get yourself to safety without becoming that creature's meal? And our body directs energy and attention away from other functions to keeping us safe in that moment and getting us away from that danger and that stress factor. When we're out of our sympathetic nervous system, we go into our parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest and digest mode. And this is where we should be spending most of our time. It's the healthy place to be. Sadly, modern day living means whilst we may not have saber-toothed tigers and bears and wolves out to get us, every time the phone goes, every time an email pings into your inbox, you get a social media notification. You watch the news, particularly in the past 18 months, as we've been going through this pandemic. It's stress factor after stress factor after stress factor, and it keeps us in our sympathetic nervous system. And it isn't a healthy place to be. But it has been shown and been proven that going out in nature automatically triggers our parasympathetic nervous system. It automatically triggers something from deep within our psyche, which harks back to our hunter-gatherer ancestors, that calms us and soothes us being in nature. And it's called the biophilic hypothesis. And what this is basically saying is when we hear the sound of bird song, for example, we hear a babbling brook, we hear the wind rustling through the leaves of a tree. Deep down and in our subconscious, we know life can be sustained and therefore we are safe. We will be okay. And it's this power of nature and just how amazing it is that it can literally taking a walk every day outside. And there was research done in Finland that suggested it's actually a minimum of 5 hours a month that you need outside will boost your mood, will make you feel happier and be that bit healthier. And that's where I come in as the Eco Monkey, as a nature therapy guide to help connect people with the natural world and to really realise something that's been in front of them for so long can actually help them, both physically and mentally. And in the life we lead now, the world in which we're living in, particularly as we come out of this global pandemic, it's more important than it's ever been. That's my story. Thank you so much for listening, and please do keep supporting the Emily Williamson campaign.
Off the Leash Podcast is proud to support the Emily Williamson Festival, celebrating female voices in conservation and Emily's legacy, which goes to show that one voice, anyone's voice, can make a difference. Join the murmuration at Manchester Art Gallery between the 12th and 14th of November 2021 and be in the room where ideas take flight. Find out more and book tickets at emilywilliamsonstatue.com/festival. Thank you for listening. To hear more from Off the Leash podcasts, follow us on your favourite podcast streaming service. And if you're interested in creating a short cast of your own, please get in touch with us at OTL Podcasts on Twitter, OTL Pods on Instagram, or by using our website, offtheleashpodcasts.co.uk.